All across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air with Hank Hanegraaff and the Bible Answer Man. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To contact the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to the calls in just a moment. I do want to mention the new DVD that I want to put into your hands. It's titled Flight, The Genius of Birds. It is stunning. I not only enjoyed this personally, but I want to enjoy this with my family and my extended family as well. Flight, The Genius of Birds. I actually wrote a little blurb for the cover. I said this: as I watched Flight, God's interrogation of Job out of the storm flashed like lightning through my mind. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom, spread his wings towards the south? Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? Honestly, I didn't think Illustra Media could produce a rival to their astonishing films like Privileged Planet and Metamorphosis, but with Flight, they most certainly have done just that. In fact, the poet William Blake once wrote that to see an eagle in the air is to observe a portion of genius. And in Flight, the DVD that I want to put into your hands, the ingenuity of a bird's behavior and biology showcase unmistakable evidence for design, for purpose, for plan. It's an evidence best explained by an intelligence that transcends the natural world. In other words, it simply cannot be explained by philosophical naturalism. You have to ultimately believe in the supernatural when you start to understand the genius of birds. And this is precisely what Flight puts at your fingertips. For example, the elaborate network of a million component parts that make a feather, an aerodynamic masterpiece, and much more. In fact, let me say just a couple of words about feathers. And all of this is given in the most beautiful presentation in the DVD. But, you know, there's a primary evolutionary contention that in the course of merely millions of years, reptilian scales became more and more like feathers until one day, well, the perfect feather emerged. Well, the question becomes, is this reasonable or is this ridiculous? And the answer is that as science advances, it has brought to light an unanticipated world of enormous complexity that requires the evolutionist to take, well, a huge leap of faith. The science of statistical probability alone demonstrates that chance, operating in concert with undirected processes, can no more create a finch's feather than it could a fish's fin. And here's why. The meticulous engineering of feathers does not square with evolutionary probabilities. The central shaft of a feather has a series of barbs. They project from each side at right angles. And then there are rows of smaller barbels. And in turn, they protrude from both sides of the barbs. And then there are tiny hooks. They're called barbicels. They project downward from one side of the barbules and interlock with the ridges on the opposite side of adjacent barbules. There may be as many as a million barbules cooperating to bind the barbs into a complete feather, impervious to air penetration. So when you look at a feather, you don't see all of that, but that's the intricacy in just what we would call a simple feather. Consider the profound aerodynamic properties of a feathered airfoil. The positioning of feathers is controlled by a complex network of tendons that allows the feathers to open like the slats of a blind when the wing is being raised. And as a result, wind resistance is greatly reduced on the upstroke, and on the downstroke, the feathers close, providing resistance for efficient flight. So to attribute the fearsome flight of a falcon and the delicate darting flitter of a hummingbird to an unguided, purposeless process is to fly from knowledge to anti-knowledge. Well, this DVD doesn't preach. At least it doesn't audibly preach. You watch it and you get the picture immediately. There is a God. No questions after you watch this. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Ryan, Chandler, Arizona. Hi, Ryan.
Hey Hank. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can.
All right, thanks. My question is revolving around this prophecy that's been around for centuries, although it's gained a lot of publicity in recent years on TBN, which is the reason I'm slightly concerned. See, have you ever heard of Saint Malachy?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 12th century, he gave like this list of popes that would lead up to the last pope before Christ's return, and well, St. Francis is supposedly the last pope on this list, but I try to use discernment in a lot of my decision-making, and especially what I hear, especially on TBN, and I'm concerned about this prophecy. I don't think it's true. I mean, that's my opinion. I've heard other things like St. Malachy's actual prophecies were written, or sorry, I should say they were published like hundreds of years after he actually died. I heard other people say his prophecies are dead on, and then I heard other people say his prophecies are dead wrong. So can you offer any insight? Do you believe this prophecy at all? And if not, what do I say to somebody who does?
Well, first of all, congratulations for having discernment. You shouldn't listen to everything that you hear over the airwaves, particularly if it's on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. But look, St. Malachy is most likely, in terms of the prophecies that are attributed to him, most likely a 16th century forgery. But counterfeit prophecy stars always have one thing in common. They're consistently wrong. In illumined contrast, genuine prophecy stars are infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, their prophetic prowess cannot be pawned off to good luck or good guessing or deliberate deceit. So what I'm communicating here is that what prophecy does is it foretells the future from the perspective of God, who alone can foretell the future. So there's no one on the planet that knows what's going to happen if you're writing in the 12th century or prophesying then, knows what's going to happen in the 21st century. Only God knows the future. And by the way, God keeps the future hidden for our benefit. If we knew what was going to happen in the future, we wouldn't want to face the future. So God in his providence only gives us enough light to step into some more light. And he never gives us the prerogative to determine what's going to happen in the future. We simply don't know. And that's why we are called to prepare as though the coming of Jesus Christ is a long way off, and be prepared as though he might come in the next millisecond. If you look at the Bible, what does the Bible do? It is a prophetic book, and prophecy demonstrates that it is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. For example, God says this, I told you these things, and he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, long ago, before they happened, I announced them to you so that you could not say, my idols did them, my wooden image, my metal god ordained them. In other words, God speaks through the prophets and demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Now we test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So just as the miracles of Jesus cannot be duplicated because Jesus is the foundation of the Christian church, so too the prophecies of the Bible are not being duplicated after biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. So we know that this is a false prophecy, number one. Number two, this is likely a 16th century forgery. And though Malachi lived during the 12th century, these prophecies weren't even discovered until the 16th century. And the descriptions of a sequence of popes is most likely history written after the fact, if it is anything at all. And so you take these vague prophecies and now have them articulated and sensationalized and hyped on Christian television. Why? So that people in the present epoch can say, look, I'm living in the time that Jesus Christ is coming back. And guess what? Every single person who's ever predicted that in the past has been 100% wrong. And again, the reason is no one knows, and the Bible gives us nary a clue as to when Jesus Christ is going to return.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Sure, yeah.
Would you consider Catholics to be Christian?
Well, here's the thing. I think that there are Protestants that are Christians, and I think that there are Catholics that are Christians. I think that there are Protestants that deny essential Christian doctrine, or at least compromise and confuse it, if not outright deny it. For example, liberal Protestants deny the resurrection. They deny the incarnation. They deny Christian biblical soteriology. And you find the same thing within Roman Catholicism. So I think ultimately you have to say that Christianity is not a denomination, it's not a creed, it's ultimately a relationship that one can have with the living Lord of the universe. And that relationship is not only a function of recognizing the imputation of Christ's righteousness. In other words, we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but is also the impartation of his life. We're not just living a changed life, we're living an exchanged life, the life of Christ within us. We can say we are now dead. We've been crucified with Christ. Christ now lives within me. I no longer live, but he lives. So there are people who can correctly cross every T and dot every I, but they don't have the impartation of life. So it's not just, as someone has well said, an explanation, it's an experience with Jesus Christ that we can have in the present and have to the full.
Thank you so much again, sir. Truth matters a lot to me, and thank you for your show, and I'll certainly keep listening. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you as well. And again, I want to mention, emphasize, even flight the genius of birds. This is something I want you to see. If you've seen Metamorphosis or Privileged Planet, you'll know why I'm saying this. If you haven't, you want to get flight, you will be mesmerized. Not only that, but you'll also be equipped to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Again, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you this stunning DVD. Also, if you are an existing member of the monthly support team, we are still trying to close a funding gap. We need your help. If you can give an extra gift, it would really make a strategic difference as we reach out around the world. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having, please prayerfully consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. For your gift of $25 or more, you'll receive a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, as my way of saying thank you. Also want to mention, if you have not at present subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you may want to check it out online at equip.org. It is a stunningly beautiful magazine. Content and form melded together. So when you see it, you'll see why it's won so many awards for graphic design and artistry. But the content is reliable and trustworthy. I was just in Utah. A pastor of a large Christian church there was telling me how significant the Christian Research Journal was in his own efforts as a pastor to equip his people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. You can subscribe to the journal in a safe, secure fashion online. And by the way, if you enter the offer code SUMMER, you'll get a discount and a free copy.
There's something you see every day that proves creation is true. Birds. Yes, birds show us that they weren't designed to fly by a purposeless process, but by a personal plan. And Hank wants to send you the DVD, Flight, The Genius of Birds, to equip you with this truth. Flight is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, request your copy today. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Can you handle the truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Illustra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds, from skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body. It's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Illustra Media's new DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Children are back at school. Learning the theory of evolution is truth, and fewer teachings are more dangerous. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with the facts about why creation is true by sending you the DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. The eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call or go online. The phone number is 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to the phone calls and talk to Dave in Geneva, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. I appreciate everything you do. I got a quick question for you. I've always been taught if I die today and I'm in the presence of the Lord, that you won't feel any sorrow, pain, or hurt anymore. But my question is, if that is true, once He actually judges us for our sins that we've committed on this earth, won't we be ashamed or feel hurt or, you know, badly of the way we may have lived our life on the earth?
Well, I think we see an earnest of that today. We are as yet snow-covered dung. We are righteous because of a foreign righteousness, not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And we still struggle with the powerful lure of sin. And so we can see in the present day that on the one hand, we are grateful for the righteousness that is ours through Jesus Christ, and yet we are pained by our constant violation of God's commands. But what's wonderful in the new heavens and the new earth, we will not only be positionally accounted as righteous before God, but we will then be practically righteous as well. And we will recognize with the very scars of our Savior that we have been given such great a redemption. And we will forever thank God for the great redemption that He has enabled for us through His sacrificial death on the cross. So by looking back at the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, we will be overjoyed at His mercy and His love, His grace and His greatness. And I think the same is true in the intermediate state that you're talking about, where we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. We will be enjoying His presence. We will be enjoying relationship with Him to the full, because the imago Dei, or the image of God now tattered and tarnished, will then be completely restored. And that's what it means to be able to have genuine fellowship with God. So Lazarus is not said to be in agony over his sin, but he is rather said to be in paradise. He's said to be comforted in Abraham's bosom, even in the intermediate state, awaiting the time that Jesus appears a second time to put all things to right.
Okay, so when we do get judged, it's not like we're going to sit there and put our head down and be ashamed in front of Him for that. It's something that we're just going to be very happy to be in His presence at that time and just understand that, you know, He's going to kind of basically, you know, do judge us, though, on how He did live down here.
Yeah, well, here's what happens. When Jesus appears a second time, there is a separation between sheep and goats. The Bible makes that clear in the words of Jesus, "Do not be amazed, the time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." But then books are opened, and we are judged according to what we have done. So this is a matter of handing out rewards for faithful service. Now, there is a sense in which Paul does describe in sort of a traumatic way what happens to those who built selfishly on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Remember the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where where he says that there's no other foundation other than Jesus Christ, but you can build on that foundation either using gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And the day of the Lord will show whether we used inferior materials. And if we did, then they will be consumed by the breath of God's mouth. And the image that Paul portrays here is of escaping a burning building with nothing to show but the charred clothes upon our back. So there is a sense that the judgment of rewards is one that is very significant. How we will emotionally deal with that, the Bible doesn't say. I mean, there's imagery that's used, as I just communicated, but the truth of the matter is we ought to focus on laying up for ourselves, therefore, treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, for that very reason, because though we can't work for our salvation, we most certainly can work from our salvation.
Sure. Well, that's very well put. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You got it, Dave. Thank you so much for your call. Seth next in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bart Radio. Hi, Seth.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call, Hank.
A pleasure.
My question was dealing with the controversial issue of homosexuality that's taking prevalence in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, I actually am an individual who possesses same-sex attraction, and I really feel hated by both the church and the gay community. And so my question to you is, what do I do to step out of this? Because it seems like it's a daily struggle and it never goes away.
Yeah, well,
and I don't really know what God wants me to do.
Well, first of all, I think you've taken a very important step. And that is, when you just communicated what you communicated, you did not say that homosexuality was your identity. You said that you struggle with desires in conflict. And I think that is an exactly right, precise way to put it. And I do think it puts you in a very difficult situation. And to dismiss that or fail to acknowledge that is not helpful to you. I think you're absolutely right. I think that the church has unfortunately had a very bad posture. And of course, I can see it from the other side as well. You're not recognizing this as an identity, and therefore you're going to be in conflict from same-sex sexuality proponents. So it does put you in an untenable position, a very difficult position. So what to do about that? I think first and foremost, you recognize that whatever your significant issue is, whether it is yours struggling with desires and conflict respecting homosexuality or someone else which is struggling with issues involving adultery. In both cases, what we do is we seek to live the crucified life. We seek to become like Jesus Christ, not by what we do, but by tending to the inner man, by embracing the indwelling Christ. And then love does not become something that we do, but love is what we are. It flows out of our nature, as it were. So there are a lot of manuals that have been written that I think extraordinarily helpful in this regard. One written by Joe Dallas, who himself was part of the homosexual community. And I don't know if
I know about Joe Dallas.
Yeah, and I don't know of anybody on the planet that speaks about this more compassionately and with more biblical and experiential knowledge than Joe Dallas. In his book, Desires and Conflict, which is Hope for Men Who Struggle with Sexual Identity, I think is just the perfect book for someone like yourself.
Well, I own it, and I've read it. So, thank
do,
you.
Do you agree with that, then? Do you agree it's helpful?
I agree. The issue is not agreement.
Okay, yeah.
You know, for me, that's how the church acts. It's like, oh, then you need to change. It's not like that. I actually firmly believe in heterosexual marriage, and I do not want to be a homosexual. It's not me at all. But that's what I have to deal with day in and day out, and I can't seem to be able to get any support to step that out.
Yep.
And Joe Dallas himself mentions that this is an impossible thing to overcome without the support of other people.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm finding I don't understand what I need to do within the church to bring that about, that I can receive that support.
Yeah.
Because I keep reaching out to the church because I feel I need to and I must. That's God's mandate. and I'm doing that. But at the same time, I just keep getting hurt.
Hey, Seth, so have you ever talked to Joe Dallas?
Have I talked to him?
Yeah, personally.
No, I have not.
You know, it occurs to me that perhaps I can arrange that. I think it'd be helpful. I can give you an electronic soundbite right here, but I think it would ring hollow. I think that if I can put you in touch with Joe in some way, it might be very, very helpful to you. Because
that would mean so much to me.
Yeah, he's actually gone through this struggle and recognizes that precisely what you say is true, and he may have a way of dealing with this that might be practically helpful to you.
I would be very receptive to that.
Well, you hang on, and I'll do what I can to arrange that. And I really appreciate what you've said. I obviously recognize that this is a struggle in many different areas with respect to the church, not only with your particular desire and conflict, as Joe likes to call it, but I appreciate you saying what you said the way you have said it, because I think that's the first step in the right direction, and the failure of the church is, unfortunately, a failure that's a shame.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Seth, and I am honored that you called me today.
Well, I am honored that you spoke to me. I really do appreciate it.
God bless you, my friend. You hang on, and we will make sure that we see what we can do in arranging a meeting with Joe. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Danielle. She's listening in Baldwin City, Kansas on Butt Radio. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I have a question in regards to the university setting. I have taken a biology course with a professor who has professed to believe in Christianity, but has chosen to walk away from the faith, and within the time frame of the course, and then taking classes from him again in the future, I'll have to. He's very adamant about putting biblical perspective to a very negative opinion.
Yeah.
to the classroom, and in an attempt to try to represent Christ in that situation, in different scenarios, just coming back with a lot of different refutes and bitterness towards it. I wondered if I was approaching it the wrong way. I know it's probably not very specific enough, but kind of just wanted to start from there and see what your perspective was.
Yeah, first of all, there's an article we did in the Christian Research Journal titled Responding to the Non-Christian Biology Classroom, which I think would be extraordinarily helpful for you. I also wrote in my book, The Creation Answer Book, about the Cambrian Explosion, which is biology's version of the Big Bang. So just as cosmology's Big Bang undid the dogma of an eternal universe, I think biology's Big Bang has uprooted Darwin's tree of life. What happens oftentimes in the biology classroom is the biology teacher gives a caricature of what the creationist viewpoint is and doesn't in the process recognize that their own paradigm has been utterly uprooted, exploded. And Darwin would have acknowledged as much if he were alive today, because he would have recognized the impact of the Cambrian explosion from a biology standpoint on his own theory. So what I'd like to do is send you that, the Cambrian explosion entry that I have in the Creation Answer Book, and then a copy of the article, or at least tell you how to get a hold of it. If you hang on, we'll get that information into your hands, and hopefully you'll be able to use it as a springboard or an opportunity to share truth. Be right back.
Evolution strips away any notion of God. No God, no absolute truth. No absolute truth, and anything and everything goes. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with what he calls one of the most powerful tools he's seen to help you understand why evolution is false. The DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call to request it today,
1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Elestra Media's new DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Can you handle the truth? The truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Elestra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds, from skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body. It's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. When we see a work of art, we know it was created by an intelligent designer. But evolution asks us to believe that our Earth and its inhabitants are the result of a purposeless process. Hank wants to equip you with the truth about creation. That's why he'll send you a powerful DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, to thank you for your donation today. Request it when you call 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, it's not all that uncommon for skeptics to suppose that Christians are irrational to believe in a God that they cannot see. But in reality, it is irrational for skeptics to suppose that what cannot be seen does not exist. Why? Well, both Christians and skeptics alike recognize such things as black holes or electrons or, well, the laws of logic, the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of these are unseen. Not only so, but Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and as such, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation, but it's not the only act. God's invisible quality, says Paul, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Put another way, the order, the complexity of the universe testify to the existence of an uncaused first cause. All of this to say that we have a brand new DVD that we want to put into your hands for your ongoing support of the ministry, but also to equip you to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And in this DVD, which is simply called Flight, the Genius of Birds, the ingenuity of a bird's behavior and biology are showcased, and in turn showcase the reality of a God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. This is a simply wonderful resource that will bless you and bless your family in unimaginable ways. And if you have watched Metamorphoses, you will know Paul Nelson. He was the principal figure, if you will, in Metamorphoses. Well, Paul Nelson joins me right now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as always, it's good to have you with us, Paul.
Thank you, Hank, for having me back as a guest.
This is just an extraordinary production. I mean, I thought that you guys had done it all when Metamorphoses came out. I mean, Illustra Media just hit a zenith that I didn't think could be topped, but I actually think this is as good or better.
You know, I have to agree with you. And frankly, I think they got on the scene. They said, flying creatures, we've done butterflies, let's look around, we've got birds to do. And there are aspects of this film that, frankly, I've never seen before. You know, looking, for instance, at the development of birds within an egg. But there are so many interesting aspects to the film. I just love telling people about it.
Paul, tell us about the problem that the very concept of flight poses for the evolutionary paradigm.
Flight as a function, by that I mean controlled flight, where you're not just gliding, but actually taking off, going in a directional way, landing in a controlled way. That is actually something that's very, very complicated. And it took us, that is human beings, a long time to figure out how to do it without killing ourselves. And finally, in the first couple decades of the last century, we managed to have genuine controlled flight. Birds, of course, have been doing it as long as we have observed them. And the evolutionary paradox or puzzle is, how did land-dwelling or tree-dwelling creatures without the power of flight achieve that function in an incremental way? By an undirected Darwinian process, which is what evolutionary theory claims. So the film looks at what it takes for a living thing to fly. Of course, other ways of flying other than what birds do, bats fly, insects fly, but this film focuses just on bird flight and the amazing multiple features required to achieve that.
Let's talk about a specific bird, the hummingbird, as a design problem. Why is this such a big deal for evolution?
Hummingbirds do things that no other bird can do. For instance, they hover very much, if you've ever seen one, like a helicopter. They're able to move backwards in the air. They're able to achieve lift all the time. You know, most birds, when they're flying, only achieve lift, that is the ability to keep themselves up in the air on the downstroke of their wing. Hummingbirds, by contrast, can achieve lift both on the down and upstroke, which they need to do. If you've watched a hummingbird at a flowering bush moving from blossom to blossom, it needs to not only hit those blossoms, but then come up and move around in a way that sort of a pigeon or a raptor could never do. It turns out that there are features of its anatomy, in particular the structure of its shoulder, which allow it to rotate its wing 140 degrees as the wing is coming back so that it can achieve lift on the upstroke, which is, to me, just mind-blowing. But that's just the start, because the energetic requirements of a hummingbird are unbelievable, the metabolic requirements, just to keep those engines running. So one of the things the film discusses is the structure of the hummingbird tongue. And we feature research done at the University of Connecticut that shows that the tongue is actually much more complicated and interesting than anyone realized. I don't want to give away the story. I want people to watch the movie, but it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, talk about this for just a moment. For someone to get this film, watch it either by themselves or with their family or in their church, this is an astonishing production, isn't it?
I think so, and it features the work of scientists from England and also from Denmark who were eager to cooperate with Illustra Films in featuring their research. The scientist from the UK looks at starling murmurations. These are these huge, enormous flocks of starlings, hundreds of thousands of birds flying as a unit. Somehow they don't crash into each other. You know, we watch the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds, five or six planes flying in formation. That's amazing. With these starling flocks, you're looking at really hundreds of thousands of birds flying as a unit and not crashing into each other. The work of the scientists from Denmark looks at the Arctic tern, which is a bird that, boy, I want their frequent flyer miles. They spend their summers in the Arctic region up north, and then they migrate down to Antarctica. They do this sometimes 25 times. You know, they live a long time. Millions of miles accumulating in these populations. And he was able to track how they did this using, again, some amazing research techniques. And I don't want to give away the story, but it's fascinating.
We're talking to Paul Nelson. Dr. Paul Nelson is a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution. And this is a field that you have spent a long time plowing. And it's important because how one views their origins, Dr. Nelson, ultimately determines how they live their life.
That's right. These are really the fundamental questions that any human being has to answer. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Is my existence a cosmic accident? Or is there a design, is there a purpose to my life intended by a transcendent mind, a creator who knows my name? You know, how you answer those questions makes all the difference to how you live your life. So evolutionary theory, unlike almost any other theory in science, isn't just a scientific theory because it's the theory about us. It's what science tells us about where we came from. And if the claim of that theory is that we arrived on this planet by an undirected natural process, that has consequences for how we view ourselves, how we view others. And I think the intelligent design research community not only challenges that view scientifically, but those of us who have some philosophical or theological training, we challenge it at a deeper level and say, no, our existence is not a cosmic accident. There is a purpose. We do have a reason for being here. I would never want to be a teenager, let's say, growing up in a culture where they're told, you're just a lucky spin of the cosmic roulette wheel. That would rob, I think, one of the purpose of being. So you're right, Hank. These are fundamental questions, and how you answer them makes a big difference to how you live your life.
The DVD is called Flight, the Genius of Birds, and I would say, Paul, that the genius of this DVD, if you will, is that it communicates without preaching. And what I mean by that is you watch the DVD and it, well, I mean, intuitively demonstrates to you that God is real.
Listen, I agree. And to me, it's Psalm 19 in action. It's Romans 1:20 in action. We have a God who did not hide himself in the sense that he made himself manifest in the world that he made in a way that Romans tells us those who reject it will be without excuse. They will not be able to say when they face him, you didn't put enough there. But I feel very strongly that the signal from nature speaks unequivocally to the existence of a supreme mind who brought this world into existence. And birds are just one glorious example of that. The movie really is a love letter to these creatures that I'm sad to say, again, this happened with butterflies. I took them for granted until I had to be involved in the film. And in the case of birds, again, I took them for granted until, you know, 18 months of a production on the film, and you just fall in love with the creatures all over again.
Yeah, and I'd have to say the same thing for myself. And one of the things I want to touch on just as we close is the notion of families watching the DVD together, because so many families send their kids off to school, and those kids are being bombarded with evolutionary dogma, even propaganda. But when you sit down with your child and watch this DVD, they're going to get the other side of the story and, again, intuitively recognize that what they're being told in school doesn't always correspond to reality.
That's right, and it's very watchable. It's a bowl of popcorn, a couple of Cokes, you put your feet up. It's very entertaining, and you're right, it doesn't preach. The living things are right there for you to enjoy. The movie, as I said, is a love letter to these creatures that inhabit the air around us.
I would definitely say that Ladd Allen and the folks at Illustra Media, only from the perspective of eternity, Paul, we fully know how God has used their productions for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
You know, they're hard workers, and they plow all the money they make on these films right back into the next one. So I'm proud to be associated with them and the things that they've done over the years.
Always great to have you on the broadcast. Looking forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thanks, Hank. Have me back anytime.
God bless you, my friend.
Take care.
And, of course, the DVD, it's called Flight, the Genius of Birds, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online for your gift, again, at equip.org. When you support the ministry, we'll send this out, and believe me, you will absolutely be blown away. This is not over-promising and underperforming. It's under-promising and overperforming. When you see this, you'll just be blown away. And again, if you have a family, watch it as a family. It'll make a big difference in your life. Watch it with family members, friends, neighbors. Make this an event. This can be life transformational. Again, available for your gift at equip.org. Also, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, Resource Consults, they're standing by at 888-7000. And the letter CRI, so just pick up the phone and call 888-7000 CRI. Get your copy of Flight, the Genius of Birds. It will be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Do thank you for tuning in today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet, just log on to equip.org. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Illustra Media's new DVD called Flight, the Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator, God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment.
Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.